Again, thank you to all of you who share this on a daily basis and to all of you who are with me every single day. Like I said, I wake up thinking about you all. And so what we're going to talk about and what we're going to do together. And so thank you for that opportunity. I appreciate it. And it happens because you are here. Today, I want to talk about, first of all, I want to say thank you again to those of you who like my page. If you haven't liked my page, Facebook page, Will Bowen, facebook.com/WillBowen, please do. And then you'll get notifications every day when we post things for you. Also, too, I want to thank those of you who shared yesterday and who share every single day. So please continue to do that. Just click share as soon as we're done or while you're watching. Wow, we've got somebody else, Christelle Buxkin. I hope I'm coming close to getting your name right. Says she's also from Queensland, the Gold Coast. Very, very cool. Glad to see it. Well, today, Liz Schmidt says, good morning. I don't want to miss acknowledging Liz and her being here. Today, I want to continue actually and do a second part of what I began with yesterday. And I want to talk about race. And I shared with you yesterday my own family's history. Miyuki's here. Good morning, Miyuki. And if you didn't have a chance, go back. Karen Mosley says, small world. Wow, we've got a lot of people from Queens. Oh, those are the two that we were talking about. Anyway, I want to get into this idea of race and racism. And yesterday I shared some of my own family's history of race and racism. And I shared with you that my father was in minstrel shows and in fact actually put me in one when I was 7 years old. And this was during the riots. This was during the civil rights riots in the 1960s. So it was absolutely about as tone deaf of a thing as you can do. It was not at all an understanding thing to do. Now, the image that you're seeing right now that says, I can't breathe, I took that picture. The one that you see today says, I can't breathe. Those are going up some stairs, in Wyndham, which is a section in Miami, which is, if you first see it, it's like, oh my gosh, there's graffiti everywhere. And actually what it is it's art. There are graffiti artists and their entire buildings that are painted with some pretty amazing, amazing things. Now what is happening is people are going back and painting over a lot of stuff. And this is a living, breathing art exhibit. When you paint something in Wyndham, I would imagine you can't be too upset if someone paints over it because that's kind of what happens. And as you can see, someone has painted up these stairs, I can't breathe. And George Floyd's name is in the top of the T. Now, I couldn't get any closer to take a better picture than this. But I think it pretty well represents the feelings and all that many people are having right now. I wanted to talk with you a bit more about race yesterday. One of the key points, and if you didn't watch yesterday, I highly invite you to go back and take a look. No one who is a racist, in my experience, feels that they are racist. And therefore, that means that we are all probably a little bit more racist than we actually believe. I remember being very aware of something when I was in college. There was a young woman, and I was trying to remember her name this morning, and I can't remember it, but it was on everybody's lips. She was a young woman, college student, I think, who was about 17 or 18. Anyway, she disappeared. She totally disappeared. She completely disappeared from the scene, went missing, as do millions of people every single year. And billboards went up all over my town, Columbia, South Carolina, about this young woman who had gone missing. Now, she was white, she was blonde, she was blue-eyed, and she was beautiful. And what I discovered was that that year that she went missing, and what really drove it home for me was when they did this huge event at a civic center in her honor. They threw an evening in her honor to raise money, I guess for more billboards. I really don't remember what the evening was for, but I do remember the fact that all of this effort was put forth for a young white woman, and I did some research, and back then there was no internet, but you could dig newspaper articles and things like that, and I discovered that a heck of a lot more black people went missing than white people, and yet we were having billboards and all of these events and things like this. And again, I guess what I'm saying is that the inequality in that came from privilege. And I say that as a privileged person. I was, as a friend of mine said, you know, I was born on third base and, you know, it's easy to hit a home run. I'm white, I'm educated, I'm tall, I'm all kinds of things. I'm really, really, really fortunate. I have a leg up in this world. And if you have a leg up in this world, your job, your duty, your responsibility, your Christian obligation is to reach down and to help other people come up as well. Things always kind of amaze me. I love how the universe works. I want to share with you an image of something that came across my Facebook feed just this morning. You know how Facebook likes to show you memories from the past? Well, this is a memory of me at the Memphis, Tennessee. This was 10 years ago today. 10 years ago today. Now, a lot of people say that I look much better today, younger today than I did 10 years ago. And I'll tell you, the only difference is this is right before I went vegan. So anyway, I am standing in front of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee, which is where we all know James Earl Ray ended the life of one of the greatest men in our history, and that is Dr. King. And I remember being so emotional being there. You can see I'm still wearing my suit. I had just finished a speech and had to get to the hotel, but I told the driver, get to the airport rather. Didn't even have time to change out of my suit into some traveling clothes, but I told the driver, and back then we didn't have Uber, it was a town car. I said, I need you to stop. I've got to get out and have a picture made here. And I remember thinking how far we've come. And now I don't think so much. It's easy for me on my side of the fence to think we've come a long way. It's much harder on the other side of the fence. And right now the fences are getting broken down all over the world. And I don't mean that literally, I mean that emotionally. Unfortunately, whenever people protest, there are always going to be counter protests. And one of the things we fail to understand is that the ego, that's the fearful, limited self that is inside each of us, it always speaks first and it always speaks loudest. So often these people at these protests who are shouting at the protesters are simply just trying to out-yell them. I saw a news article about a woman who simply stood her ground. An African-American woman, when this big, burly white guy got right in her face yelling at her. And I saw an interview with her, and what I loved was she lifted her sunglasses so that she could just look him in the eye. And she said her dad taught her that when someone wants to dominate you, you make them treat you as an equal. You look them in the eye and don't break your gaze. And that's exactly what she did. It's an amazing, not in a good way, time in which we're living right now, a global pandemic as well as riots in the streets. I do think that the problems in the way we police have been brought to the forefront. As I mentioned yesterday, there were no police departments in the South. What they did was, back in the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s, remember that South Carolina was, you know, colonized in the 1600s, there was no police departments. What they did was they deputized every white man, and he had the responsibility for looking for runaway slaves. And of course, anyone they found who was black, they perceived to be a runaway slave. Today we are seeing the backlash of the system. Whenever we attempt to try and change a system, as they're doing right now in Minneapolis with threatening to just completely defund the police department, whenever you try and make a change, the system always comes back. And what we need to do is we need to persist. We need to persist peacefully And we need to continue to remind ourselves that as long as one person is not being treated fairly and justly, it is a threat to us all. So I invite you to open your hearts. And where is this going to play out? I think it's going to play out in the ballot box. And I'm not going to encourage you to vote for one party or another, because I will tell you that I am nonpartisan. I vote for either party, but I will tell you that we need to vote for people who lead with their hearts and try and understand the pain and the years of suffering and unfair treatment that the African American community has received, and someone who's going to make it more of a big deal and address it when something happens, so that we all become aware of this and hypervigilant. I said yesterday that I think that since the Me Too movement, I hope we are all starting to trust women when they speak out a lot more. I hope going forward that we just all demand a change if and when anything ever happens to another African American in the hands of police custody. And I'm not here to attack police. I'm going to say something that may upset you, but I know a lot of cops. I've known cops over the years. You have too. I've been pulled by cops, talked to cops, and I have friends who are cops. I have a cousin who's a cop. And we had a very, very good friend when I was growing up who was a police officer. And I've discovered there are really two types of cops. I remember one guy was this guy. He was a sheriff's deputy, but I knew him in another context. And this guy was a short man. He doesn't have to be a short man, but he had an angry attitude, and he was racist. And to him, being a cop was all about just being mean. I don't want to go too much further into that. And then there are people like my cousin, who is a cop because he cares about people, because he grew up in that community, because he loves people and wants to share and help them. And I believe those are the two types of cops out there. And unfortunately, there's some bad apples out there. And it's time. We don't necessarily need to turn over the basket, but we need to create a system that is intolerable. Intolerable. Of bad apples. Let me check in and see what you all have to say. Susie Drozier says, hello, good morning from Michelle Doherty. Share with me any of your comments if you would. I'd like to hear what you have to say. And while you're doing that, I want to show you, I'm so excited. I'm doing a contest but as you can see, we have these backdrops, and I use the same backdrop every day in the Jumpstart because I think it's really good, and I also like the music. But I want to show you what I've created today for our complaint-free meditation group. So take just a moment, and we will transition over to what they will see. And look down there. You'll notice it says, Morning at Trish Parr's Home. What I've done is I've asked people to shoot a picture of what they see in the mornings, the pretty images they see from their very homes, and share them with the complaint-free meditation group. One of the things I love about this meditation group is that almost 100% of the people who have joined are there on a daily basis. They either join us live at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, or they come back and they watch later. If you want to feel relaxed, chill, less anxiety, calmer, give this a try. I cannot tell you how much this will impact your life. The emails I'm getting and the messages from some of you about how this is changing your life and making you calmer and happier, it's just amazing. So thank you very much for that. So if you haven't checked it out, it's complaintfreemeditation.com. All right, so let's go back and check in with the rest of you real quick. Hi, Trish, says Lisa. All right. Oh, here we go. Hello, says Susie. As I said, I'm in Minneapolis. Making racism intolerable is critical. And the takeaway I wanted to get away from this in the last 2 days is that, or make sure that we do, is that you're a racist and I'm a racist. It's part of our nature. It's part of our protection. And yet, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm saying it is a thing. And we're more racist than we think we are. And we need to therefore work to become far less racist than we should be, so that hopefully we'll get to ground zero. Yay, Trish, beautiful Trish. I think, and beautiful Trish, everybody's saying, you get to see Trish's backyard. So tomorrow, I think it's Lisa, I'm almost positive that it is Lisa Bartell's image that we're gonna be able to take a look at. So look forward to having you there with me in the complaint-free meditation group in 9 minutes. And the rest of you, thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing these messages every single day. It's the way we build our audience. It's the way we build our community. And for those of you who are watching on YouTube, you'll notice I don't have ads in these campaigns. You know why? Or in these images or these videos? I don't put ads and I don't allow YouTube to monetize my ads. You know why? I want to give this away, because when I give it away, you share it with other people. Those other people learn about me. They buy complaint-free bracelets, maybe join the meditation program. So I'd rather not put ads. I'd rather be able to share with you what it is I have to share with you. And you make it possible when you share with others. Liz says, being self-critical about this is so important right now. Thank you for saying so. My honor, Liz. Bless you all. Listen, everybody, thank you so much. Meditators, I'll see you in the complaint-free meditation group in 8 minutes. Thank you to the rest of you who have shared this and who are going to share it. Listen, today, make today a wonderful day. Have a wonderful day. Open your heart, open your eyes to other people, and most importantly, be open to the change that is taking place in yourself, the evolution of your own soul and your own consciousness. I believe it is happening with us. So be with us every day. And my goal is to help you help that happen. Blessings. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, 8 a.m.